We live in a time where challenging issues and situations come at us from all different directions at 100 miles an hour, it seems. One minute, for instance, we're trying to figure out how we feel about the impeachment proceedings going on in Washington, D.C. In another minute, we're offered a promotion at work and have to decide quickly whether or not to accept it. And in yet another moment, we are drug into the middle of a family dispute where each of the combatants wants us to land on their side. Those voices demanding our attention and allegiance come at us so fast and so furiously that we can often find ourselves wondering what to do. Well, if you've ever found yourself floundering in the midst of such challenge, you aren't alone. For in this morning's sacred reading, we listen in on a conversation of sorts between a seasoned person in ministry, the author of today's letter writing in the name of the Apostle Paul, and a young evangelist by the name of Timothy, who's struggling to figure out what to do in the face of competing agendas within his own community. So this morning's letter is a valuable resource for those of us who follow in the ways of Jesus, who've ever found ourselves asking that old familiar question, what to do? What to do? So listen carefully to the evangelist's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through chapter 4, verse 5. And then let's come back together and see if those words have much to offer us as we struggle with that question of what to do. But you must continue with the things you have learned and found convincing. You know who taught you. Since childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures that help you to be wise in a way that leads to salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Every Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting, and for training character, so that the person who belongs to God can be equipped to do everything that is good. I'm giving you this commission in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is coming to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearance and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready to do it, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Correct, confront, and encourage with patience and instruction. There will come a time when people will not tolerate sound teaching. They will collect teachers who say what they want to hear because they are self-centered. They will turn their back on the truth and turn to myths. But you must keep control of yourself in all circumstances. Endure suffering, do the work of a preacher of the good news, and carry out your service fully. Thus ends this morning's reading. The passage you just heard read is a controversial one for some because of the way it talks about Scripture. You see, some biblical literalists have used a portion of verse 16, the part that read, "Every Scripture is inspired by God," to suggest that a faithful person should never wonder what to do, because all of the answers are spelled out for you in the Bible, right there in black and white. Some of those folks have even turned that approach into a bumper sticker that reads, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." Well, what such folks forget, or perhaps didn't know in the first place, is that the Bible as we know it today did not exist at the time the author wrote those words. Sure, they had at the time most of what we might recognize today as the Old Testament or Hebrew Scriptures, but most of the documents that were later included in what we know today as the New Testament were still in the process of being formed. So, the most important words in verse 16 were the ones in the clarifying phrase that followed the word Scripture, inspired by God. For those words call us to attune our ears to those sources where God is revealing God's self to the faithful, still, to this very day. So, I can hear some of you thinking, Pastor Craig, if our notion of Scripture isn't that it's all black and white, are you taking us back to where we began this morning? Suggesting that everything is completely wide open? That we have no anchor in our lives? No sense of what God is calling us to do? Absolutely not. Let me tell you why I say that. In helping us figure out the value of this morning's passage, a scholar by the name of Lewis Donaldson wrote these words. The bolstering news of the letter, Donaldson wrote, is that Timothy, like us, is not in this by himself. Even if his community should reject him, he is surrounded by support, with the memories of his mother and grandmother, and of Paul himself, surrounded by people. Now, I know being surrounded and supported by loved ones is a good thing. But in the letter this morning, the even better news for Timothy, and for us as we struggle to find our way in a world of competing voices, is that the well from which we draw is far larger than our tiny circle of acquaintance. As Donaldson reminds us, Timothy was, like us, surrounded by sound tradition. Tradition built upon generations and generations of the faithful whose witness gives us a solid foundation upon which we can build our lives. And friends, I think that's the piece of today's passage that I found most helpful. For it reminds us that as we grapple with some of the most challenging issues of the day, we don't have to start from scratch. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. Our feet are already on solid ground, even if we are slow to recognize it. Pastor Craig, I get where you're headed with all this talk about the value of Scripture and tradition, but I've got to interrupt you for a minute, you might be thinking. Isn't this the same Scripture and tradition that was used to justify the existence of slavery, to subjugate women, to villainize LGBTQI people? How can you ask me to open myself to those messages? Well, whenever I hear folks say that, I'm reminded once again that our relationship with Scripture and tradition is so often colored by the way those around us in our lives have used them. If our formative years were spent around those who used Scripture and tradition to enslave, to subjugate, and to villainize, then of course we're going to be suspicious of those things and reject them. But if we had the good fortune to be around those who used Scripture and tradition to do other things like Jesus did, use them to liberate, empower, and celebrate love, boy, we're going to see things differently. We're going to come to appreciate the value of Scripture and tradition in powerful ways. In summing up the unique power that Scripture and tradition can play in our lives, a UCC colleague of mine by the name of Olive Elaine Hinnett wrote these powerful words. She said, "When we place our faith in the latest book on Oprah's list, we will always be waiting for the next, quote, new message to come along and to save us. And even though we seek the new and the novel, it is God's old and lasting grace that satisfies our longings. This grace is the sound doctrine that is referred to in this letter to Timothy." And friends, when we truly begin to open ourselves to the wonderful words and legacies of our faith, we suddenly find that the stories that are used not to condemn, but to empower. Stories that meet us right where we are, and through the examples of our spiritual ancestors, show us the way forward when we can't see it ourselves. Think of Jacob, Hinnant continued, the heel grabber and crook who through his dirty deals became Israel, the one who struggled with God and prevailed. Think of David when Nathan was sent to confront his adultery. Once David acknowledged his sin, the Lord put it away, and David did not die, but go on to do amazing things for God's people. Think of the prodigal son in that scripture and tradition who is welcomed home after he has spent his inheritance. Think of Zacchaeus, condemned by his community as a greedy tax collector, but as tradition and scripture teaches, was recognized by Jesus for his latent generosity. And even think of that woman at the well, who had five husbands, but in whom Jesus saw a hunger and a thirst for living water. It is in those aspects, my friends, that we see the real power of our scripture and of our tradition. So, friends, as we prepare to go forward once again into a world where it's easy to feel tossed about by the stormy waters of our lives, let us take heart. For we don't have to wait until the next bestseller is released to find fleeting answers. Fleeting answers that will last only until the next bestseller is released. No, in the midst of our trials, we can take heart knowing that we have a time-tested anchor that can ground us in life and offer us hope until the latest round of waves subside. May God give us the wisdom to recognize and then to use those twin anchors. Amen.